Well, that was a nice 60 minutes of football last night, wasn't it?
Was, Glenn. Yeah, players. Players really did a good job. We had a good week of practice and preparation, and it certainly came together for the most part last night. Just think the players did a really good job. Captains, Gerard and Vince on defense, and Tom and Algie on offense. You know, Kevin Falk had a big. He was around a lot this week. I think he had did a lot of good things to help our football team prepare for the game and be in the right frame of mind and all that. So I think those guys, along with a lot of other veteran players, really did a good job of getting the team to a good point. And we were out there able to execute well last night and really played a good game all the way around, got off to a fast start, and, were able to sustain it for 60 minutes.
Let me ask you more about that Kevin Falk influence, because Vince Wilfork talked today about this might have been the best week of practice he remembers in the last couple of years. And you just talked about Kevin Falk, and obviously he had an impact on what they did this past week. What is he doing, and how does he do it when he's not out there as one of the players working with these guys? What's his influence out there on this team?
Well, he's around. He's in getting treatment and doing rehab, but he's around, and he certainly brings a great level of experience and confidence and the participation that he's had in the games and what they're like and what they, how to approach them and how to prepare for them and what they expect. I think it's invaluable, the insight that a player who's been in those situations can give to players who either haven't played or haven't been in very many of them. I mean, pretty much everybody on the team played the Jets in September, but it's a little bit different this time of year and the second time around. Kevin has a great perspective on what's important and how to win the game. And, no player is any more unselfish than Kevin is. And, I think he can, impart some of that wisdom and experience to other members of the team.
You also had Bruschi out there. That was
Great to see Teddy. It was great to see him recognized. He certainly embodies everything that the New England Patriots stand for, and his performance, his excellence, his teamwork, his energy, his unselfish play, his great success on the field, and captainship and leadership that he's given us throughout the years. It's just awesome. And to have this kind of game on his night was really a great combining of forces. So it was awesome.
Well, he obviously looked real happy at halftime, but then they cut to him up in Kraft's box a few times too. It just seemed like he was enjoying it almost as much as it was when he was winning those games with you.
Well, it was definitely good to have him there, and we've got a lot of great players come through this organization in the last 10 years that I've been here, and even Teddy going back to my year here in 96, and mm-hmm. He certainly is up there at the top. He's meant a lot to this organization, this franchise, and certainly to those teams that he was on, and the players that played with him and the coaches that coached him. He's impacted all of us.
Now, Coach, it's a little bit different outcome than last game. Offense, it was a good analogy by Stephen Young. He said, it was like being cut by razors. You don't know you're cut, and you're just starting to bleed to death. But you were able to pick them apart. What was the big difference in this game? It looked like the defense, offensive receiver core was like one big unit, and Tom was able to just survey the whole field and find the open man. What was the difference, and how were you able to come up with a game plan that was so different than the first one?
Well, I think the big thing we did as a team is we just performed better. We executed better offensively. Even first play of the game was run and play that picked up a first down, and the running game complemented the passing game, and the offense complemented the defense. The defense got three turnovers, and the offense was able to convert those turnovers into a couple long drives that not only took time and off the clock, but put points on the board at the end of the drive. And so, I mean, it was good complementary football all the way around. Offensively, we got contributions from everybody. It wasn't just the passing game. It was the running game. It was the protection. It was running after the catch. Deion's touchdown, a couple of Woodhead's plays, Hernandez. So we got good plays from a lot of different areas, and that's really what a good offense does, is it spreads the ball around and attacks the defense at a lot of different points and makes the defense defend everything.
Now, Woodhead snuck out once, and it looked like they had the defensive tackle dropping in the zone drop. Was that what it was when he got that pass? I think it was 50-yard pass.
Well, I'm not sure exactly how that was supposed to work out for him. It was play action. It looked like things got distorted a little bit underneath. I mean, I doubt that was the coverage assignment, but, it looked like he was the closest man to him, and he was just given pursuit and chase when the ball was thrown. But I think that, somebody must have got caught up in the play action or something, but an alert play by Tom to find Woody and get him the ball. And of course, Woody made the most of it after he got the ball in his hands.
The interceptions by the interception by Spikes, up 24-3. They're starting the second half with a solid drive. You can make a case that might have been the play of the game right there. You know, all of a sudden 24-10, you might be a little more comfortable in running your offense. That seemed to just turn the tide, and from there it was just nothing left. What was his read on that, and why was he just reading Sanchez's eyes, or was that something that he'd seen shown in practice before?
Well, I think on that particular play, looked like the Jets were trying to run a play similar to what the Colts did, what we call a pop pass, where they fake a run into the line and then try to get a receiver back behind the linebackers and hit him in the back of the end zone. Brandon got a good read on the play. So did Mayo. Mayo was back there really to cover it. Both the safeties were closing on it, and it looked like Sanchez just couldn't get the ball over Spikes. I think it would have been a real tight throw even if it had cleared Brandon, because, you know, Mayo and the safeties were closing, but in the end he just couldn't get it past Spikes, and having that kind of height and range at inside linebacker is, you know, difficult for a quarterback. I usually don't see that, you know, those guys that are, you know, 6'4" and have that kind of length, and Spikes is able to get up there and, you know, make a good hands catch on it. You know, unfortunately, we had a real good opportunity to end that drive on the first play of the half when we, you know, couldn't recover the fumble.
Yep.
But it turned out all right, even after they ended up moving the ball 60 yards. So we finally got the interception there. But we could have saved ourselves a lot of trouble if we could have just fallen on the ball there at the start of the third quarter.
Now, Coach, on that play action, that's a good time to bite because you assume they're going to run. It's a running team. Were you telling him to watch for that play action? Because he didn't even bite at all on it.
Well, we were in a three-man rush on the play, and so we weren't in a, you know, a big pressure defense. We were in a three-man rush, and actually we had two of our interceptions last night on a three-man rush. So, you know, sometimes as a quarterback, that extra guy back there in coverage clogs things up a little bit, or sometimes they just don't quite see him or account for him. And fortunately, we were able to make a couple plays on that. So it was it was obviously an alert play by Spikes and Mayo. Gerard really made a good play on it too, to get back and cover the pattern.
He had a lot of movement in your defensive line. Vince would line up on the left side, and then suddenly there'd be the shift, and he'd be over Mangold. How much of that was to confuse Sanchez after his pre-snap read?
Well, we try to keep the Sanchez, but the whole offense. They're playing on the road. There's a lot of communication that has to go on at the line of scrimmage with blocking schemes or protections. And a team like the Jets that uses a decent amount of check with me plays where they run this play or that play, depending on the look of the defense, we try to give them some different looks so that if they had those plays called, that it would be a little harder for them to figure out which one was the right one for them to run, just, you know, give them a little bit of a different look. And so, but the guys out there did a good job. You know, that's a hard thing to coach from the sideline. It really has to be handled by the players on the field, knowing when to move, when to stem, and when the quarterback's going to go quick, and when you got to move quick and be ready to go and anticipate the snap. So Vince on the defensive line and Mayo as an inside linebacker, they both really kind of controlled that at their different levels. You know, Vince with the linemen, Mayo with the linebackers, and we also got some good disguises from the secondary. So it's kind of how that works. But it was a real good job by the players of handling that on the field, and I don't know how effective it was, but I think just the movement up there had to, at times, at least cause them to make a, you know, different line or protection call.
Were you making considerably more defensive and offensive substitutions than you had in the past?
Not consciously, no. Mm-hmm. No. I mean, it wasn't like we went into the game and said, well, we're going to have to make X, you know, defensively, as you know, you pretty much have to react to who they put out there. Mm-hmm. So if they leave the same guys out there every play, then you're probably going to leave the same guys out there most of the time. If they change them on every play, then you end up changing them too. So defensively, you kind of react to the offense to a certain degree. And offensively, you know, we feel like we have a good depth at the skill positions, and we use, you know, all three tight ends and for the most part four receivers and, you know, multiple backs. So it just the different combinations of them. Defensively, it's especially when you're a man coverage team like the Jets are, it's a little bit difficult to get all the matchups. Again, if it's the same guys out there, then okay, we know who covers who, but when that changes on frequently, then there's some different matchups. It's Hernandez and Crumpler, it's Hernandez and Gronkowski, it's Gronkowski and Crumpler, it's you know, and so, and then you got the multiple receiver sets, and so it just can get, you know, it just, it makes it a little bit harder for him. So
with Leonard being out of there, that's why I would ask that question. Would it be better to send, they have to communicate a lot on the defense when you send those different packages in and out. That's one thing, they're with their captain on defense, or their quarterback of the defense out, more difficult for them to communicate as effectively.
Right, but again, that's a pretty experienced group. I mean, you know, Brodney Poole's an experienced player, and he played, Smith's been in their system for, you know, for quite a while. So, I mean, I don't know. You'd have to ask them about the communication. That's something that'd be hard for us to evaluate. But again, they're playing with pretty experienced players back there. You know, Lowry played some for them in the secondary. He's been there for 4 or 5 years, whatever it is, Coleman. So, I mean, the only real rookie they have back there was Kyle Wilson, and, you know, he didn't, you know, have a lot of playing time on defense. I mean, he was in there some, but I'd say for the most part, it was, you know, guys that are pretty experienced in their system.
How about the interception to Sanders? I mean, what was the coverage on that? Because Sanders just threw right to him. Was that a read he made, or why would he?
Well, I think it was a play that he had hit earlier to Holmes on the in cut right before the half that was pretty closely covered, but they hit it in. There was a good throw and good catch by Santonio Holmes, and it was a similar play. We had a different coverage on, and you know, we're in a three-man rush, and James did a good job of reading the quarterback and anticipating that play, which was again a repeat play that they got us on earlier, and he was right there in the lane. I don't know whether Sanchez didn't see him or anticipated that he was going to go somewhere else or whatever, but it was you know, certainly a you know, an easy interception for James. Threw right to him, and you know, made a good run back on it and set up an important touchdown for us. So, not sure exactly what happened to the offense on that, but we were trying to take away that in cut that they had hit on us earlier in the game.
Bill, were you guys a little bit more physical with their receivers off the line of scrimmage, especially with Keller?
Well, we, you know, we try to, when we're in certain coverages, you know, it's important to try to jam the receivers. We try to do that. We do it on a regular basis. So.
Seemed like there was a lot more. I thought they got more trouble getting off that line.
There was less Keller out there.
Yeah, less Keller out there.
Yeah. Well, I know it probably doesn't look like it, Glenn, but we try to do that every week. We try to.
So in other words, the other weeks it didn't work. That's what you're telling us.
We try to make it hard for the receivers to get their proper depths on their routes and get the releases that they want, and you know, so they can have the distribution across the field that the offense is looking for. We try to make those guys get off their stem or their course, and either cut their routes short or take longer to get to their depths, and try to, you know, congest the patterns a little bit by rerouting the receivers. So not on every defense, but there are certain defenses we do that on, and that's, you know, we always try to do that to some degree.
Mm-hmm. How important is Vince Wilfork to your team, and in particular to the play of your inside backers?
Well, Vince does a lot for us up there. I mean, one of the best things about Vince is his versatility. As you know, he's lined up at both ends and nose and defensive tackle and a four-man line and so forth. So the ability to move him into different spots is great. It really helps all of our defensive linemen, and certainly the linebackers more than anybody appreciates the either, you know, guys having a hang on him and on double teams a little bit longer and takes them longer to get to the linebackers, or if they come off Vince, then, you know, a lot of times it's hard for the guy who's left on Vince to single block him. So, you know, he's definitely a guy that we see a lot of teams game plan for. They run plays where they down block or initially double team him so that he can't penetrate, and then try to run the rest of the play after they secure that his block at the line of scrimmage, or at least don't allow him to penetrate. But he can be a very disruptive player. And you know, I think nobody appreciates a good nose tackle more than an inside linebacker.
Mm-hmm. Or an old nose tackle.
Yeah, maybe that too.
Hey, Coach, a couple times they had a safety blitz on, they got to Tom. Was that just a miscommunication with the left tackle getting out to get him?
We had a couple times, yeah. We didn't have everything worked out the way we should have. We had enough people to block him, but something happened along the way. Either we misidentified the look, or we didn't quite have everybody on the same page. So, you know, it's something that we have to continue to work on, just making sure that, you know, and one of the things the Jets did, they only had a lot of times one defensive lineman in the game, and so you've got to treat linebackers or secondary players as defensive linemen, and there's some element of communication and recognition on that. So, again, those are all things that we practiced last week, but when you get a lot of different multiples of them in the games, you know, sometimes you make a mistake on that. We made a couple yesterday.
Mankin, the man back, coming back, seems like he's added some toughness. I mean, he's a great player, but they're playing, and, you know, the aggressiveness that he brings to the table seems to be contagious with the rest of the guys.
Well, I think our Lions played, you know, solidly all year, both in running game and pass protection, but Logan's an outstanding player. There's no question about that, and he having him on the field makes us a better football team. So, I think he's, certainly a guy that that does, bring a certain attitude and toughness to the position, and he helps some of the guys around him play better. But the most important thing is he goes out and does his job, and everybody else can do their job confidently because they know he's doing his job right beside him, and they don't have to worry about it. So, it all works together. But, it's been great having Logan back. He's given us not only good play on the field, but, solid practices and just his attitude, his dependability, his work ethic have been really – big positives for our team over the past few weeks.
Did he start some fights in practice to get the energy going?
Well, sometimes. I'll tell you what, he don't have to start too many. Nobody really wants to mess around with Logan.
That's a good idea.
I don't think if you're going to pick a fight with somebody, I don't think that's the guy you want to start with.
Tom always runs the clock down, obviously, to get them to commit to what they're going to do, defensively. How many audibles with that type of defense would he have to make? Because they make a lot of different looks. They try to make it like they come in one way and do another. Was he audibling a lot from the first play, waiting to the last few seconds?
Well, I think there's a number of different situations that come up, Fred, and one is you have a play called and you want to make sure that that play is going to be all right. Sometimes you have two plays called and you want to pick the best one. Sometimes you have a play called and you see that it just is not a play you want to run against that particular look, and then you have to change the play. So, it could be a number of those situations, just depending on what the play call is and what the defense is. And there's I'd say the majority of the time the play we have called is the play we run, but sometimes Tom just wants to make sure that, it's not going to be a defense that we're really not going to want to run that play against. So
you always talk about this defense and everybody's got to do his job, and then it all works out if everybody does his job. This defense has relied an awful lot on, picks, turnovers. In the last couple of games, I hear a lot of these players talking about how they're all communicating and doing what they're supposed to do. And if everybody's doing it, then it's all starting to work, which obviously is the goal that you've always talked about. Correct. Have you seen that over the last couple of games where now suddenly you're starting to see these guys do a lot more? I mean, they're still coming up with the picks, but this defense is making stops now, Bill.
Well, I think that's a process that's really been happening all season. I mean, since probably September, we've really put a big emphasis on a communication. We've met together as a team more, done a lot of team walkthroughs, maybe a little bit less individual teaching and more as groups so that everybody can hear what everybody's saying, and the linebackers can talk to the linemen, and the linemen can talk to the linebackers, and the secondary can communicate together on run forces and coverage adjustments and so forth. So, it's an ongoing process. It's a lot of little steps. When you play a defense, there's so many different things the offense can do, and if you play 10 defenses, and then there's all the multiples, and it just gets into a lot of multiples. There's a lot of things that could happen. And the more defenses you have, the more stuff the offense runs, the more adjustments there are, and sorting those out and making sure that you're doing the right thing at the right time and so forth definitely involves communication and experience on defense. I think that our players have worked hard. We've gotten better at it. It's not perfect. We still have a long way to go, but I think the big thing is everybody realizes the importance of it, and they're making a very conscious effort to communicate, to try to get it better, to try to make sure it's right, and if they don't understand it or if they're not sure about it, to ask and get it straightened out rather than do something and then find out after the play, well, that's really not the right thing.
Has this been, for you, an enjoyable process in that you're in the trenches this year on that defensive side of the ball on a day-to-day basis? Not that you haven't been before, but
probably.
Yeah,
Glenn, I've been in the trenches for 10 years.
got a little defensive coaching out there, right?
Get out of the trenches. But you're dealing with a lot of young players, Bill, and a lot of guys have not been through this before. Is it enjoyable for you to start to see this all come together as opposed to in the previous years you've had veteran players that you could rely on because you knew they were of the same mindset that you were dealing with, they knew exactly what to do?
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. I think that each week and each year, you have a lot of challenges in every phase of the game, offense, defense, special teams, and defensively, in previous years, we've had our moments, some good, some not so good. Same thing's true this year, and that's been true on offense and special teams as well. So, I think the big thing is, you know, over the course of the year, the most important thing is your team keeps improving. You know, you're a better team in October than you were in September. You're a better team in November than you were in October. You're a better team in December than you were in November. And if you can keep doing that, then that really gives you a good opportunity to keep pace with the rest of the teams that you're competing against. And if you don't, if you don't improve over the course of weeks, whether it's in practice or in games or the combination of all those, then other teams are going to pass you by. So I think that's, you know, that's what you're striving for every year, whether it's young players, veteran players, or whoever it is. There's always a process and a building procedure that your team goes through. Each year is unique. Each situation's different. You see different. You get attacked differently from year to year by different teams, depending on how your schedule falls and so forth. And it's a very fluid situation. It changes a lot. But the thing I like about our team and the defensive players is that their willingness and their commitment to working hard and getting better. And I think if we keep doing that, that we'll continue to improve.
Coach, a lot has been made about no coordinators. Has this year, have you had more or less time than ever before as a coordinator? Because, I mean, helping the coordinators. You're always involved in the development of a game plan, whether you name a coordinator or not. Is there any more this year because you didn't definitively name somebody?
Well, again, Fred, I think each year is a little bit different. Not necessarily that you plan it that way, but it just works out that way. So, you know, I try to spend my time in whatever way I think is most beneficial for the team. And that's my job as a head coach, to try to coach the team and help the team in any way I can. So my time commitments go where I feel like they can be most effective. And that changes sometimes from week to week, and sometimes it changes from year to year.
Is Tom throwing the ball over these last four games as well as you've seen him? He's got some incredible accuracy numbers over the last four games. He's on a good roll.
Yeah, you know, I think Tom's throwing the ball well, and I think at the same time, I think a lot of that credit also has to go to the receivers. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing better for a quarterback than to have a receiver be exactly where he's supposed to be, and conversely, there's nothing worse for a quarterback than to think a guy's going to be one place and he's not there, or he's somewhere else, and whether he misreads it or whether he doesn't go to the right depth or whether the quarterback misreads it, but just everybody being on the same page. And again, that's been a process over the course of the year too, of just the quarterbacks and the receivers, and when I say receivers, backs, tight ends, mm-hmm. making the proper adjustments, being in the right place, anticipating the same thing that the quarterback's going to anticipate, and is seeing the same picture. And so that's, you know, there's no way to do that other than to get out there and practice it and meet on it and work on it, and you don't get it right. It just doesn't happen on its own. And, you know, again, the amount of time that those guys have spent working and even practicing at the end of practice or individually on their own to get certain plays right, and then to see those things show up in the game is, you know, it's great. I mean, that's the way it should be.
Coach, did you spend any more time breaking down film with Tom this week? You know, the report said that you spent a little more time breaking down that Jets defense and showing the weaknesses and the strengths of the defense with Tom this week.
Yeah, you know, Tom and I, you know, in at other points during my coaching tenure here, you know, we've sat down and met from time to time. This week was a little longer week with the Thanksgiving game, and so Tom and I had a chance to sit down and, you know, spend a few hours just watching the Jets, talking about what they do, our game plans, things we wanted to do, and so forth. And it was fun, something that we really hadn't done as much of this year. Although we've done it, and we've done it in the past, but this year that's just hasn't worked out that way. But it's a chance to do it, and so it was a lot of, you know, a lot of fun for me, and I think really beneficial for both of us. You know, there's nothing as a head coach. There's, you know, no player you want to be more on the same page with than your quarterback. You know, make sure that what he's doing with the ball is, you know, what you think he should be doing, and vice versa. So it was, you know, we had a real good opportunity to do that, and you know, I think it benefit both of us.
He ratted you out this morning, though. He talked about the little pep talk out in the field. He said that you said, "Listen, this game isn't over. We're playing for 60 minutes. I don't give a bleep," except he actually used the word, and we had to bleep him out, "what the score is. We're playing for 60 minutes." NFL Films didn't have one of those bum mics near you for that, did they?
I don't know.
Maybe pick some of that stuff up.
They have the beep button, too. So
do you have to do that every once in a while, a little emphasis, and that guys have a tendency to look at that scoreboard and maybe they relax a little bit?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I just think that was something that we talked about all week. The players talked about it. Certainly the coaches talked about it. And just we, you know, wanted to be totally committed to playing 60 minutes, playing our best football. Every snap, every down, from the, you know, opening kickoff to the final gun, and you know, we got through the fourth quarter and we had just scored there. And so I just wanted to, you know, remind everybody about what we had all talked about. I mean, we've all been talking about it all week. And, you know, we're down to 15 minutes of football in the game. And it wasn't about the score. It wasn't about anything other than just trying to play our best. That's what we're out there for. And, you know, again, as we went through the fourth quarter, you know, you could hear guys on the sideline talking about it, about, you know, finishing the game, about playing 60 minutes, about, you know, staying focused and all that. So I think it was, again, a real good job by our players and our captains in particular, including Kevin. You know, those guys really, you know, set the pace for that attitude all week, and you know, we were able to do it yesterday.
60 pretty good minutes of football, but guess what? There's a new game coming up on Sunday. We're going to get to that, about the Bears. That's coming up next.
Skills you'll apply at work right away. Programs are part-time and online. GRE or GMAT required. Attend our information session December 8th. Learn more at brandeis.edu/GPS. That's brandeis.edu/GPS.
Back here with Patriots Monday on a Tuesday. I'm Glenn Ordway, Freddie Smirla, Steve DiAssi, the coach, Bill Belichick. It's the Chicago Bears next up on the schedule coming up this Sunday. Bill, a Mike Martz offense, but it looks to me like they're running the football a lot more and passing a lot less over here over the last 5 weeks. Are you seeing this? Is this your typical Mike Martz offense?
Well, I think it is. I think it's all of Mike's plays. Some of the runs have, I think, been situational. You know, they've been ahead or they've been in control, playing very good defense and, you know, just trying to have a little more balance in the offense. But they can definitely throw it. And, you know, they've done a good job. I mean, I think Jay Cutler is having a terrific year, probably playing as well as any quarterback, maybe other than Manning, that we faced. He's really carrying the team in the passing game, you know, on his shoulders, making great decisions, throwing the ball very accurately. And, you know, but they have a good mix of running game, passing game. They have a lot of good skill players. They're very good in the kicking game, and they're very good on defense. So it's a good football team. They're 9-3, and you can see why.
What is one thing that Cutler does that makes him an outstanding quarterback?
Well, I think one of the things that's really a problem with him is his athleticism, his feet, his quickness. He's very mobile in the pocket. He's accurate, and he's makes very quick decisions. He gets the ball out of there in a hurry. And, you know, that's been something that's been that's progressed over the course of the year. I think that in certainly in the more recent games, there are a lot more examples of him throwing the ball quickly, getting it out of there before anybody would even have a chance to get to him. And there were probably other times earlier in the year where, you know, he held the ball a little bit longer maybe than what the design was. But that hasn't happened much recently. He's very accurate, and you see a number of examples where, you know, defenders have a chance to get him, and he just escapes. He just outruns them or uses his quickness or steps up in the pocket and slides and avoids them. So he's done a great job in the pocket and has thrown the ball accurately and made a lot of big plays for him.
He has a strong arm without even winding up.
Very
it looks
strong.
Like he just stands there and arm throws it 60 yards.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that really is impressive about his release is he doesn't have to have his feet step. He doesn't have feet set. He doesn't have to stride into the throw. He can be literally in any position and put a lot of mustard on the ball and fire it in there. So, yeah, he's got a great arm.
And they have a few receivers with some speed, too.
Absolutely. Those guys can really run. Knox and Hester are probably as fast as, you know, as you're going to see. Mm-hmm. But we've got a good complement of receivers. And, of course, Olsen has done a great job for him at tight end in the passing game. Malamaluna had, you know, three big catches against the Lions, kind of a guy that you don't usually hear from, but, you know, he really came through for him in some clutch situations last week. And, of course, they use their backs, as they always do with Taylor and Forte, as Martz always does when he had Marshall Faulk and so forth, that, you know, he gets those guys the ball, too. So you got to defend everything with his offense, long throws, inside, outside, backs, tight ends, receivers, I mean, you name it, they can spread it around.
How do you deal with a defense when you sit there and you say, okay, we're going to try to contain Julius Peppers, and then you got Briggs, and you got Urlacher, you got so many game changers, guys that can turn a game around with a big play?
Well, they're very good up front. I think they've caused 28 fumbles or something, second most in the league. So they do a great job of knocking the balls off people, whether it's quarterbacks or running backs, tipping balls, forcing interceptions, putting pressure on the quarterback. They make a lot of plays with their front and their linebackers and secondary are very fast. I mean, it's similar to the Colts style of defense, but with a much more dominant defensive line. Not that Freeney and Mathis weren't. They're good, but I'd say the Bears are even a little bit more disruptive than that. So they cause you a lot of problems. They create a lot of negative plays, and then once you get in a long yardage against them, that's definitely not where you want to be. So they're one of the best teams in the league at getting running plays for losses, tackling them for losses, and then therefore creating long yardage situations.
By the way, they're already calling for a weather forecast, I guess, in Chicago to be about half of what it was this past week. What was it, 22 or 24 game time? It's going to be like 12 or something like
really
that.
Is there really a big difference between freezing Chicago? And really yeah. freezing?
Yeah.
You know?
And once you get to 22, does yeah. it make a difference?
Yeah. That's when the big puffy jacket comes out, Bill.
That's right.
Put the puffy jacket right. on last night.
Yeah.
Time now for the coach's question of the week. It's brought to you by AutoTrader.com. Compare new and used cars side by side at AutoTrader.com, the ultimate automotive marketplace and proud partner of Patriots football. It's all yours, Fred.
Coach, considering Mike Motz has taken over this offense, will you watch any of the films of the previous teams that he ran that can give you any help in this game?
Already seen them, absolutely. Already seen them. Saw the Detroit
no
game.
Sleep last night.
Yeah, saw the Detroit game, saw the San Francisco game.
No, I mean of him in the past with the Rams, when he was coaching the Rams.
Well, yeah, but even since then, we played him when he was a coordinator in San Francisco 2 years ago. And then in 06, we played him when he was a coordinator in Detroit, and they came in here, and I think that was 28-21 game with Brable had the two interceptions in that game. So, yeah, we've seen the games that that he's coached against us, and as well as the a lot of the games, you know, from this year. But, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, Mike's a guy that really very creative offensively. They have, as many offensive formations and plays as any team that we'll face. And we've faced teams that have a lot of them. But he really mixes it up on you. So, it's interesting just to watch and see how he's attacked you in the past. Absolutely.
Hey, along those lines, how much different is it later on in the season when you've got a much bigger sampling of a team? And a lot more film of what they've done during the course of the season, as opposed to the first 3, 4, 5 weeks, when a lot of teams are just integrating some of their plays and some of their personnel.
Yeah, well, it's a lot more substantial, Glenn, and I think that's one of the things that we've really tried to emphasize to our players, and again, that our players have done a good job with. And you know, I use Kevin Falk as an example, but right, you got 12 games of film instead of 3 to watch your opponent, then that's, you know, your opportunity to, there's a lot more information, there's a lot more things that you have to study and be aware of, and so now's the time of the year where really, from a preparation standpoint, maybe a little less, fewer physical demands, but from a mental preparation standpoint, you need to do more at this time of year. You need to do more in December than you did in October, and that's, you know, that's the time of the season we're in. So studying more film, being more aware of situations and tendencies, there's more evidence of what they want to do in certain situations. Studying it and knowing that and doing a better job of you knowing it than they are doing it of knowing you can give you an edge on Sunday, and that's so we try to gain that.
All right, terrific win. Congratulations. We'll see you back here on Monday. Good luck out in Chicago.
Thanks, Coach.
All right,
thank you.
All right, thanks, Fred.